The U.S. Forest Service has approved a plan to allow Greens Creek Mine to drill 11 sites across 1.25 acres in a roadless area within Admiralty Island National Monument. It's an extension of work done each summer to find additional mineral deposits. Greens Creek General Manager Scott Hartman says in the past, the company has simply had to file its annual plan with the Forest Service. But with recent court decisions on the so-called roadless rule, now the Secretary of Agriculture has to approve it. Earlier this week, the decision was delegated to the Alaska Regional Forester and quickly granted. Juneau Ranger District spokesman Ray Massey says the drilling is all within the Greens Creek inventoried roadless area.
It's still within the 1872 mining laws. You know, certain kinds of projects can be done in inventory roadless. The mine claims is one of them. And the fact that they won't have to put any roads in to do this work, they'll just have to put in a pad, and they're allowed to take down whatever few trees they have to build the helicopter pad.
Massey says the approval requires the site to be reclaimed after drilling is done. He says an environmental analysis will likely be completed by mid-March. Greens Creek's Scott Hartman says helicopters transport the drilling rigs and other equipment, and the work is weather-dependent.
All of our surface exploration out here is helicopter supported if it can't be done from an existing road.
Greens Creek is owned by Hecla Mining Company based in Idaho, and Hartman says the company's exploration plan extends out for a number of years.
In this business, you spend a lot of time, you spend a lot of money exploring, hopefully, you know, expanding the resource and the reserve base so that you can continue on. And, you know, it's been part of the Greens Creek story. We've been a 10-year mine for 20 years, and we're hoping we can say the same thing many years from now.
The Greens Creek silver, gold, lead, and zinc mine is about 20 miles southwest of Juneau on Admiralty Island. The mine is Juneau's largest private employer with about 370 employees. Governor Sean Parnell yesterday lashed out at legislators critical of a bill to provide tax credits to companies that do research and development in Alaska. The governor said he was extremely disappointed in some representatives for questioning his administration's truthfulness during Wednesday's floor debate on House Bill 118.
Usually when a legislator has a concern like that, where they feel like they have been given incorrect information and they think it's intentional, they would call me. They would come see me. That's not happened in this case. And for a member to stand up on the floor and impugn the motivations of others, I think it violates their own legislative rules, but certainly there's a better way to handle it.
House Bill 118 was introduced last year at the governor's request. The bill provides credits up to $10 million per year to companies for qualified research and development projects. The idea is to stimulate new investment and help diversify Alaska's oil-driven economy. But when it reached the House floor this week, members of the Democratic minority said the administration had not provided enough information about how the tax credits would be doled out and to whom. There was some concern that oil companies would be able to use the credits on top of existing similar tax breaks. Anchorage Representative Les Guerra said the administration didn't have its facts straight.
At the Labor and Commerce Committee, they said if you took the state credit, you didn't get the federal credit. In the Finance Committee, they said if you take the state credit, you do get the federal credit. In the Labor and Commerce Committee, they said if you take this credit, you get to add it to all your other credits. In the Finance Committee, they told us if you take this credit, you don't get to add it to your other credits.
Anchorage Representative Mike Dugan said he didn't trust the administration, specifically the Department of Revenue, which he said lied to him. Revenue Commissioner Brian Butcher said the confusion may have been because the Department of Commerce presented the bill to lawmakers last session, while his department presented it this year.
So we can't speak specifically to what everything that has been said in every office, but certainly we have never lied to Representative Dugan.
The bill passed the House on a 23-12 vote on Wednesday. It could come up for a reconsideration vote before it heads on over to the Senate. Meanwhile, the friction continued over those action alert emails the governor and his allies sent earlier this week urging Alaska residents to testify on a Senate proposal to cut taxes on oil companies. Members of the Senate's bipartisan majority called the emails deceptive and misleading on Tuesday. In the messages, Parnell and others who support his more drastic tax cut proposal call the Senate bill a tax increase. 3 days before the emails were sent, Parnell's Revenue Commissioner Brian Butcher told a Senate committee the latest version of the bill would result in a tax decrease of about $250 million per year for oil companies. Parnell defended the emails yesterday.
I told the truth. The commissioner told the truth. And that we're all here trying to get the job done for Alaskans.
The Senate Resources Committee took 2 evenings of public testimony on the tax reform issue. A final committee version should be released and sent to the Finance Committee sometime next week. A North Slope building that processes oil for shipment in the Trans-Alaska Pipeline was brought back online yesterday after a fire on Wednesday. BP Alaska spokesman Steve Reinhardt said employees noticed flames in an unoccupied low-pressure gas handling building and heard a loud noise on Wednesday at Prudhoe Bay Gathering Center 2. He says the fire extinguished itself and responding crews found no apparent damage. A full inspection will be conducted. Reinhardt says no oil spill or loss of containment has been noticed. There were no injuries, and the plant was shut down as a precaution. Loss of production has not been determined. The gathering center is one of about 12 on the North Slope that process oil for shipment. A GCI outage in parts of Anchorage was caused when a technician accidentally cut through a cable. The mishap occurred Wednesday in the Midtown area of the city. GCI spokesman David Morris says phone, cable TV, and internet service was affected to the north and west of Anchorage, and Morris says service was restored to most customers by about 5 o'clock. Kids are training in ski racing every week and at Eagle Crest Ski Area, but when was the last time their parents were able to run the gates? Well, they'll get a chance tomorrow at the Town Downhill. Juneau Ski Club head coach Dan Ord says skiers and snowboarders of just about any age can race in the giant slalom.
If you are up there and out of control, if you really can't ski, we're going to reserve the right to, you know, kindly say this might not be for you. But as far as a 10-year-old kid wanting to challenge his mom or his dad in the race, you know, it's not going to be your downhill. It's going to be a GS set on our GS course, coming down Upper Hillary's, rocking through the throat, and all the way down Lower Hillary's.
It's been years since public races were held at the city-owned ski area. Ed Squibb recalls the three-race Rainier Challenge back in the mid-1980s.
We combined the times of all three races. We started from the West Bowl, went all the way down Raven, down Logjam. It was incredibly fast. Then we usually go down Chichaco and start right under Steep Chutes. And then towards the end of the year in the spring, they started way up in the East Bowl, right about where the rope line is. We came through there and under Steep Chutes and down Chichaco. That was a fast one, too.
The winner of the challenge got a pair of K2 skis topped with the Rainier beer logo. Not this year, but there'll still be some prizes. Contest categories are ages 10 to 12, 13 to 6, and 17 and up. Squibb will be setting the course and says it won't be a conventional GS. Instead, turns will be more open to accommodate snowboarders. He also plans to race.
That means that you're going to compete in the category of 17 and up. Ed, I think you're about my age, 60-something maybe?
Yeah, maybe. Oh, well, you know, you can't get rid of the bug, I guess.
The race includes 2 runs, 1 in the morning and 1 in the afternoon with a free barbecue in the middle. Squibb and Ord says they've been planning the Town Downhill since early fall and hope it's the first of an annual public race program at Eagle Crest.